Our final returning guest this morning is Heather Ridout. She's a Reserve Bank board member, former head of the Australian Industry Group and now chair of Australian Super. Now, when she joined Graham Samuel and John Daly on the program in February, Heather's focus was squarely on the vexing issue of productivity and growing from that on education and training. Time for an update. Heather Ridout joins you now. Welcome to Sunday Extra.
Good to be with you, Jonathan.
Now, there's probably no better time for a discussion on productivity than in the wake of last week's decision by General Motors to wind up Holden. How much of a factor there do you think is labour cost and so on in this economy?
Well, I think that our high cost structure generally is a very important issue in what the Holden decision really underlined, this difficulty of us moving from a mining-based growth model to a more generalised growth model. And in high-cost economies like Australia, which include our labour costs, but it's not solely our labour cost structure, we need very high rates of productivity growth. And we're right at the top. And countries that normally have high-cost structures like Australia have very high productivity levels, not only growth, but the actual level. And Australia falls short on that. So I think what we're seeing is last year's challenge coming to even sharper focus.
Indeed. And things seem to be happening at quite a cracking pace around federal politics. And I guess one of the things that we might be thinking about in the wake of the Holden decision is whether that sort of policy framework is keeping up with events, whether we are thinking our way through situations like that and with an eye to, you know, what we do next. Where does that fit into our strategic thinking about the economy?
Well, I think that's what Australia is really looking for. Australians are looking for, you know, we had three prime ministers in this 12 months that have just coming to a close. So it's been a very politically fraught period, a hung parliament, a lot of crisis sort of mentality dominating the policy landscape and the discussion and the dialogue around the landscape. So I think what we're really seeking over the next 12 months is a more methodical debate where, because these problems aren't solved quickly. I mean, productivity is a medium-term strategy on any measure, as is making the big transition from a mining to a more balanced economy. So I think the thing that really concerns people about Holden is that we don't know what's going to take its place. So I think the political challenge over the next 12 months is to really start to sow the seeds for a medium-term growth model for Australia, which is a more balanced one and which can support our very high living standards that we've got very, very used to.
Now, John Daly, we just spoke to, talked about the coming federal budget as a real crunch point. This is a time when, you know, the colours have to be nailed to the mast. Do you see this next quarter leading up to the budget as being a pretty critical time politically?
Well, I think the Australian economy is quite soft. I mean, it's still growing, you know, around 2.5, but it's below trend, which is, you know, a bit over 3. And there's not a lot of prospect of that picking up greatly in the short term. During the course of the next 12 months, I suspect the economy will be a bit soft. And so I think we have to be very careful in the upcoming budget that we don't cut in areas that are really going to be bad for growth. But at the same time, the federal budget and the budget deficit is always a bit of a key performance indicator for government. And I think and that's important. But for me, if we're going to be fiscally constrained, we have to look at the quality of spending. We need to get the best bang for every buck we spend. And the messages I'll be looking for from the government in the budget is how we're going to really focus on making sure what we spend is good spending and it's going to deliver more prosperity for Australians and put in place this longer-term growth model that we're also, you know, looking for.
That's going to be tough, isn't it? Because there is that sense of budget crisis. There's a need from the government to bring things back into line, back into the black. But as you say, the economy, it's I was going to say perilous, but that's probably a little bit too strong.
Oh, I don't think it's anywhere perilous. We're in our 23rd year of economic growth.
It's not a bad place to be.
We've got very strong fundamentals, and we've still got income growth. We've still got, you know, relatively low unemployment, although it is starting to edge up. But I think these fiscal deficits, they're not cured in a day. All you need to put forward to the Australian people is a credible strategy that over the next 3 to 5 years, over the period of the cycle, whatever that ends up being, that we've got a strategy there and we see it moving in the right direction. And then I think we have to take a broader approach. I mean, the budget deficit is just a number. What I think we're looking for is a strategy that's underpinning that budget. And I think areas like infrastructure, what we're going to do about that when we've got higher unemployment, we've got more capacity to build infrastructure, we've got huge superannuation funds like the one I'm chair of, with a lot of money to invest in infrastructure. So I think it's this direction, this strategy that I think will be what I'll be looking for in the federal budget, more than just the bottom line, which will have a whole lot of influences on it.
Now, Heather Ridout, when we spoke in February, you were pinning some fairly high hopes, I think, on the Gonski reforms to education, especially in that context of that discussion around productivity and training and the skills we need to develop to move the economy forward. What's the sense you have, and I guess the government's intentions here are still a little unclear, but the scrapping of that Gonski process, where does that leave us, do you think?
Well, I think in a sense, big states like New South Wales are already committed to putting in place the sort of funding structure that the Gonski panel suggested, which is trying to deal with this big deficit, this very big deficit of young people that are underperforming in our schools and who are therefore, you know, really detracting from productivity growth in the economy, but both to their own detriment and to, you know, the broader detriment. So I think Gonski has a bit of a life of its own, at least for the next 4 years in big states like New South Wales, and it's to be hoped that states like Queensland and Western Australia actually really adopt this, because, I mean, I've been around education panels for years, and this has been the big gap in our education, a big gap, not the only one, a big gap, and a big sort of blight on our education performance, the fact that low socioeconomic groups don't seem to be able to meet the market there, and that's a failure of the quality of teaching and the failure of quality of resourcing of schools. So I think we've taken a couple of steps backwards, but we're still in business, and Gonski is still alive in key areas, and I hope that it can start to deliver some results.
Well, one of the things that seems a certainty is the federal government's reluctance to take that sort of leading hand in directing funding, at any rate, and giving that back as a pretty much a sole responsibility to the states. Do you think that's a useful approach?
Well, I think the big issue that concerns me is that if the federal government gives the states funding for education, it should not be that the states can then take away funding so we don't get any net increase. So I think that's a very big issue. And the Gonski plan, which was adopted in New South Wales and other states, was that they would also put money in. And I think so we see a net increase in resourcing for education. And then how it is applied is, of course, the other big issue in areas like the quality of teaching in these in schools, and not only in low socioeconomic schools, but in schools more generally. So I think the Gonski model is a very good one. It seeks to increase the net resources, and it seeks to direct it in a positive way. I think the jury's out with what will happen in Queensland and Western Australia. I don't know what their plan will be, but I think certainly good leadership from the federal government would really have their arms twisted up their back on this, and because otherwise we shouldn't be paying them the money if they're going to take money away that they can afford to spend.
Now, a final point, Heather Ridout. In February, we spoke too about Australia's engagement with Asia. Now, this has had a few superficial hiccups in certain areas of late, but the broader picture?
Well, look, I think there's some positives. The free trade agreement with South Korea is a good step. There seems to be added momentum in China, and that's good, and the Chinese economy is picking up, which is really good for not only us but for the whole region. Japan's doing better. On the economic, on Indonesia, I mean, to me, we have to start refocusing on our economic relationship with Indonesia rather than always on boat people and these other issues. It's a huge economic partner now and potentially for Australia. And I'd like to see 2014 we get back to focusing on how we can both win from a wonderful, you know, very, very productive economic partnership.
Heather Ridout, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure, Jonathan.
Fascinating insights there from all our guests this morning. Heather Ridout, Graham Samuel and John Daly, reflecting on the year that's been and the challenges, and they are many, that confront us in the year to come. Sunday Extra, Jonathan Green with you.